Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. And tonight we're going to start talking about the Holy Spirit and supernatural gifts. Again, we're making that distinction between what is spirit and what is soul, what is supernatural. It's fine to refer to them as spiritual gifts as long as you know that they're not spiritual. They're soulical. They're supernatural gifts. And one of the reasons that's important is because gives us an indication about their reliability, about their function, that we do not put the supernatural gifts on a pedestal or the person who has them on a pedestal, but recognize that the supernatural activities of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in the lives of others, is for a purpose, not just to draw attention to the person, to you or to me, but that through that person, we are learning how to function in the supernatural realm. And the activities that the Holy Spirit does through the supernatural gifts, through us, draws us, again, into greater and greater dependence on who God is. And, again, that's always the bottom line, is to ask the Lord, is this from you? What do you want me to do here? And this always brings us back around to the simplicity of our relationship with Him. We can have that rest and peace and contentment knowing that we've already accomplished everything that needs to be accomplished. What we're doing now is learning how to be who and what we are. It's like learning all of a sudden that you are a totally different person than you thought, and that you had greater responsibilities, greater authority, and greater power, and greater opportunity. And now you have to find out, okay, now that I have all these things, how do they work? What am I supposed to do with them? And that's what we're here for. So let's talk a minute about the Holy Spirit. Now, let's back up even more and talk about the Trinity. Of course, we know that that term is not used in the Scriptures anywhere, but that there are references to God as Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Father, God the Father. We're trying to bring something that is incomprehensible to us into terms that we can understand. So though we use that term, let's not try to conclude that it is an accurate description of His nature. We really have a hard time understanding something that is so foreign to us. We have a hard time even thinking of ourselves as spirit, soul, and body. Well, our spirit, soul, and body are different levels of character. How do we even grasp the beginnings of understanding God being multiple parts, yet equal in authority and power, and yet one? We get glimpses, and we want to, you know, we may want to ask him for further revelation, but let's, for now, we just want to understand that we are not going to be trying to describe in infinite detail who the Holy Spirit is or how he works, other than in specific instances. Because we have a tendency by doing that to exclude other possibilities. And instead, we want to give God, the Holy Spirit, ourselves, free reign in our lives and in what he wants to do to and through us. Likewise, when we talk about the supernatural gifts, there are some listed in different letters that were sent that we now have recorded. And we have drawn approaches and coordinated our belief system around how they line up and how they balance and how they make sense and how they work and function. Yet, we want to understand again that there was never any intent by the writing of those letters to say that this is the sum total of the moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives in the supernatural realm. He is a part and very nature of God. And since God is eternally creative, he is coming up with new things right now. And so to say that this is the way the Holy Spirit moves and anything beyond this is from the enemy, I think we are drawing a line in the sand that God never intended. So how do we know if something is from God or not? We ask, Lord, is this from you? Lord, what's going on here? And we always go back to the results and stand back and is what's going on creating a greater dependence on God? Or is it creating a dependence on self, our own strength, our own emotion, our own understanding? Or is something else involved? There are two voices that speak to the sheep. The voice of the shepherd, which is kind and gentle, strong and directive, and comforting and uplifting, and the voice of the butcher, which is demanding and harsh and angry. So if we look towards the goodness of God, is this a loving thing that we're hearing? That doesn't mean if not corrective. God corrects those he loves. He chastens us. And using that example of the shepherd, sometimes he has to be rough as he rescues a little lamb that has fallen off the cliff. But he does it for our good, and there's still that gentleness there. And we look at the results. Are we back in the fold after experiencing that encounter? And when we start with the approach that what we are looking for is a way to know God on his terms, that what it is that we're asking from him is something he wants to give us. It's not about our trying to get from him, but it's instead receiving from him. So as we approach the different ways that God makes himself known to us through supernatural gifts, again, we allow him to express himself in whatever way he chooses. When we talk about the different ways he can do that, very often we're going to run up against our own misconceptions, our own history, the misconceptions and history of those around us, and especially our own fears, our own misunderstandings. And what happens is we want to start approaching God in a new way. We say, Lord, teach me about this, teach me about that. And instead of being able to just accept what he wants to show us, so often we take it with a grain of salt, knowing that if God teaches us something different than what we've already learned or what our friends have learned, we may have to deal with unintended consequences. You know, what will other people say? How will I be able to prove to others that this is from God? How do I know for sure that this is from God? So we don't look at things as a way of how do we fit in. There's, for each of us, there comes a time, comes a choice, when we have to find out, Lord, am I going to follow you? Am I going to let you have free reign in my life? Or am I going to, is it more important for me to stay with my same friends? So when we talk about knowing the Holy Spirit, we start there. There's when we allow him free reign, there are going to be challenges. It's not all excitement and adventure and fun, even though it is exploring new things, seeing what God wants to do in us. But there's also the consequences of the change that he wants to bring in us. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit, when we talk about God, we start there. We recognize that we've already accomplished everything we need to. But now he's asking us, he's allowing us to bring a whole other dimension of our relationship. If we're willing, he's willing. And it's not just about what we can accomplish. Again, if the goal is just not to get some things done, to exalt God or anything like that, he's perfectly capable of doing that himself. Our challenge is to let him do what he wants to do in and through us, and he will take care of the effects. That doesn't mean we don't pay attention to how we're received or if we're clear. But we ask him to bring into our experience exactly what we need for any given circumstance or any given situation. Because we don't want to cause ourselves extra difficulty. There are things that are going to be a problem. We're going to have issues with things. We're going to struggle with, you know, whatever God's dealing with. He's going to put you in a situation. He's going to put me in a situation that's going to make it hard for us to depend on him. And yet that's exactly what he asks us to do, is to not rely on our own strength, not to gut it out, but to let him be the God. Through that, we see how far he can go in us without with us being there, being participant in what he's doing without using our solical strength. Again, this is where we have this challenge of being, letting go of our own strength, letting go of our own need to be part of who he is, part of what he's doing at any given time. So we talk about the Holy Spirit, and we're reminded that he is a person, and he wants to be known as a person. We don't know what we don't know. And we don't know the dynamics of how the Father, the Son, and the Spirit operate. So, what do we know? We know that who we truly are, Spirit. Remember, you are spirit. I am spirit. If we've been born again, renewed in our spirit, we have that we have that relationship with him already that we need. So when we approach whatever God is doing in our lives, we can accept what he's doing, for that it's for us. So we are a spirit, and our spirit does know how the aspects of God relate. We do know that who we truly are, a spirit, sees and knows the beginning, the middle, and the end of what God is doing. So we can allow the fullness of what he wants to do any way he wants. The results aren't going to be something we're going to be concerned about. So we can have confidence that what the Lord is teaching us is bringing us closer to the complete relationship he wants us to have with every aspect of himself as Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and his body. We don't have to know all the answers or understand him fully or understand the situation fully in order to trust him and have a relationship with him. God is not touchy. He's not petulant. He's not thin-skinned. He's not waiting for you to make a mistake. And he's really not nearly as concerned with our approach to him as we often think he is. So we are going to take a very practical approach to expanding our relationship with the Holy Spirit and embracing his activities and gifts. This approach is in no way meant to counter or compete with what others may teach or have experienced. You are free, as always, to take it or leave this, take it or leave it. Our purpose here is to share with others what God has shared with us and what has been tested and found to be objectively true in its practical application. So we are just going to put it out there. This is a way to know God through building a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Clearly, it is not the only way, but it is a way, and it's a way that works. Remember, God has approached you. If you have any desire to be involved with anything that God is doing in the supernatural realm, that desire comes from God. So you can have confidence that what you are hearing from him, what you are receiving, that drawing, will be reciprocated. In other words, if you have a desire to know him in this way, that very fact is the seed and ending point that he does desire. He is going to finish whatever it is he starts in you. So we look at what he has done in our lives and how he has done it, and we give him free rein to move forward in what he is going to do in our life. So let's look briefly at the Holy Spirit and his general activities. Now, clearly and obviously, this is not the first teaching on the Holy Spirit. And it's not our intention to present an exhaustive account of his nature, his actions, or his character. Instead, what we want to look at are some practical ways of relating and cooperating with the Holy Spirit with the goal of knowing God. The Holy Spirit is fully God. There are definitely references to God in the scriptures as him being multi-parted, but we really don't know how many parts there are. And we're not really all that concerned about distinguishing. There's going to be times when they will, whether it's the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit, will identify themselves. But other than that, don't worry about it. It's fine to be curious about how God interrelates within himself, but we are not going to wait for a full understanding to accept the level of revelation God has given on this subject as enough for now. We know the Holy Spirit is a person and that he has character, specific attributes. He can speak for himself, he moves, he interacts, and has all other attributes of personality. So he can be grieved and pleased and patient and persistent and empowering. He can be kind and expectant all at the same time. Now, as you pursue the knowledge of the Lord, you will experience the Holy Spirit himself firsthand. For instance, when we speak of the manifestation of the personal presence of the Lord, I suspect it is the Holy Spirit that makes the Son and Father real to us on a personal level. I suspect that also over time, the distinction is blurred. But for now, whatever makes you comfortable in getting to know the Lord, that's fine. That's the way you can approach him. Again, he's not as uptight about how we get to know him as we often are for ourselves. Our expectations, we are a lot harder on ourselves than he is. What role each aspect of the Godhead plays in any of our interactions with him is not clear, and probably varies, but we can conclude that where one is, the others are as well. We can say that they travel together. So if you're going to want to know one part of God, say you want to know him as your Father, well, the Son and the Holy Spirit are going to travel with him. You're going to also have to get to know the Son and the Holy Spirit. And likewise, if you want to know how the supernatural realm works, you're going to have to learn how the spirit and the physical realm works. Likewise, if you're going to want to hear God, you're going to have to be healed. You're going to have to let him heal you in order to be able to hear him. And likewise, if you want to get healed, if you want those wounds healed, if you want to overcome, you're going to have to learn to hear his voice. So when we look at how the Holy Spirit operates in our life, we are also going to have opportunities to see what he does in other people's lives. And it is just that. It's an opportunity. Sometimes we have a chance to experience things that we just really had never dreamed for ourselves. But what we want to recognize and realize is that when God brings us into that place of being available to him, he's going to tap us on the shoulder to participate in sharing what we have received in sometimes unexpected places and ways. So we are going to stop just a little bit early, and I just really want to encourage you to give the Lord some time right now and let him bring to your mind or stir up your desires or increase your expectation about what you want from the Holy Spirit. I always like to think of him as my personal trainer, that he's the one who's right there with me, helping me do whatever God has asked me to do right here. And in that sense, he is very often the one, the voice that you hear. And allow yourself to hear God speak to you in different ways. But for right now, just let him stir up that desire, something that you're interested in, and ask him to put circumstances in your path that would draw you to a greater intimacy with the Holy Spirit. So we've been having a little technical difficulties. I hope that hasn't interfered with your being able to receive what the Lord has for you today. But well, I'm sure we'll have it straightened out by next weekend. So in the meantime, you can always get in touch with me at Diane@WeCanPrepare.org. Until then, have a great rest of the weekend. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great night.